And I can encourage us to move forward in the seating area. And we, once we move forward, we can allow those who come late to fill in front of the rear. We'll begin our dialogue and town hall meeting with prayer. So without any further words from me, please join us and receive our brother to give us opening prayer. Please receive the Reverend Henry.
Our Father God in heaven, Lord, we come thanking and praising you this afternoon, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings, Lord. Lord, and we just ask you, Lord, that just to look upon us, Lord, and this meeting here, Lord, and Lord, and let it be, Lord, a blessing, Lord, to our community, Lord, to the city of Oakland, Lord. And we just want to thank God, Lord, and thank and praise you, Lord, for the people that you have placed here in this committee, Lord, doing the great work here, Lord, throughout the community, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for Minister Keith Morton Allen, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, for Pastor Robert Beck, Lord, Pastor Humphrey, and other that's in, leaders that's involved in this, and all the others, Lord. We want to praise you, Lord. We ask you to continue to strengthen us and bless us, Lord, and give us strength, Lord, as we go forward, Lord, in this troubled city, our Father. Lord, because there's so much, Lord, that in this community, Lord, is needed for your people, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, to bless us, strengthen us, and keep us, Lord, and bless all the endure workers, Lord, is in this campaign, Lord, for justice, Lord. Amen. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of God, in the Arabic language, we call him Allah, the beneficent, the merciful. I bear witness that there is but one God. And I bear witness that Moses, I bear witness that Jesus, I bear witness that Muhammad are his messengers. It gives me great privilege to greet you. With the greeting words of peace, we say it in the Arabic language. As-salamu
alaykum.
I want to welcome all of us back out for our town hall meeting. Give yourselves a big round of applause at the right time and in truth for the right reason.
Yes.
For we have gathered together as a community more than anything else to demand justice. The Bible shares with us that justice stands afar off. And equity cannot enter because truth has been found laying in the streets. And it is in our desire to expose truth and bring justice that we have met now for the entirety of this year faithfully, every Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, in order to bring justice for the people in the city of Oakland. You are to be commended. You are not ordinary citizens. You are, in fact, extraordinary citizens that actually are those most responsible for ensuring that this system that we live in that is called democratic actually can work. Many say that America is a great experiment. This form of government never happened any place at any time like this in the world.
Amen.
Now, while this form of government was fashioned, let's be clear that what it crafted in debate, in discussion, and produced as documents that would serve as the foundation of the country is pretty good stuff. However, the hearts of those that wrote it left so much room for error to exist that while they were declaring we the people in order to form a more perfect union to establish justice and ensure domestic tranquility, well, It was in the Dred Scott case of 1857, in which Supreme Court Judge Taney declared that when the Founding Fathers wrote those words, "We the people," they weren't referring to everyone as people.
No.
Amen.
So now the result would be, in the implementation of law, in the face of such wonderful document, you had the majority of black people serving their slave masters and under the lash, the whip, the boot, and the rope, in order to keep control of and containment for the thought and action of the slaves. The native people had their land stripped from them, yard by yard, mile by mile, acre by acre, until they were left with nothing, and even the hope of reacquiring their land was dashed and has left the native people among the most suffering of those that suffered. So now you find we that were made slaves, and those whose land was taken away from them weren't defined as people. So in the original Constitution, they would craft it in such way that Congress would be represented by two members or two representatives of each state called a senator. Still works this way, right? And then the House of Representatives would be populated based on a state's population. It alleges to work that way now, doesn't it?
Yes.
But when we were not considered people, some wise fella said, let's count the slave population to give the South, where the American economy is rooted, greater power or equal power to the North. For the economy was built on slave labor. And cotton was the king crop of the land, along with tobacco, sugar, and other products that came out of the South. So they said, let's count our slaves so that we have a stronger voting block in the House of Representatives. They're not people, but let's start counting them. But since they're not people, why don't we count them as 3/5 of a human being? We weren't given 3/5 human treatment. We were given 0/5 human treatment, to the point that on those wicked plantations, they had to craft laws to protect the cattle from the farmer. If you steal a man's horse, they kill you. Then they had to protect the cattle from the perverted desires of farmers. So they had to write laws called bestiality laws to protect the cattle, but there were no laws to protect the slaves. So when Justice Taney rendered his Supreme Court decision, not only did he write us out of being described as people among those of us who were slaves, but you know there were many of us that were never slaves. They were written out of the law too.
That's right. Amen.
So when we visit the AME Church, African Methodist Episcopal, it was founded by a black man, to my knowledge, had never been a slave,
right.
Richard Allen.
That's right.
But according to Justice Taney's Supreme Court decision, Richard Allen and anybody else, black, north or south, here are his words. He said that no black man has any rights that a white man is bound to respect. And as a result of such decisions, we are now confronted by a mindset where law enforcement agencies in America have made it very commonplace to brutalize people, We are here in the aftermath of the murder of our brother Oscar Grant because law enforcement officers brought to Fruitvale BART platform on January 1st a mindset that Judge Taney spoke to in the Dred Scott case. They brought with them to the platform a mindset that has existed with law enforcement from its beginning. In fact, according to law enforcement historians, what you call modern policing finds its beginning in Virginia. Virginia is the state where Nat Turner rose up from the plantations and organized slaves on plantations, not only to flee the plantation, but to fight on the plantation and overrun and overcome the slave masters on those plantations. Well, that was in Virginia.
Yes.
So the slave masters in Virginia remained on high alert. In fact, 100 years before Nat Turner, there were African men captured in Virginia who still retain the knowledge of their language, still retain the knowledge of where they come from, still retain the knowledge of their culture, and when they arrived in Virginia, began immediately to organize for their freedom.
Yes.
They escaped the plantations. There's a piece you can get on YouTube called Slave Catchers that depicts this history. There, they escaped the plantations and they organized in the forest and wilderness of Virginia. They were so prevalent as a fighting force that they struck fear in the hearts of the plantation owners there in Virginia, in North and in South Carolina. They were so frightening to the slave masters that they sent out a decree that said that every white male must be armed. It said when you go to church, take your weapons into church with you. They were frightened that if they were sitting in church on a Sunday morning, that they'd be sitting ducks for these African soldiers that escaped the plantation and got out into the forest and began training to fight for their freedom. So every white male in the state had to be considered deputized as part of a posse to catch these escaped slaves. 100 years later, you have Nat Turner. Of course, Denmark Vesey. You have Gabriel Prosser. You have Harriet Tubman. And the ideas that are reverberating in American law enforcement authority is we must capture the slaves. The mindset was so secure that when the Civil War broke out, the early agreements were if an escaped slave makes it into the Union territory, send him back. So the idea that Abraham Lincoln was so forward in his action and his desire to free the slaves, quite frankly, is misplaced.
Yes.
Abraham Lincoln said that his reason for fighting the Civil War was to preserve the Union. And he said, if I could preserve the Union without freeing one slave, I would do that. But if freeing the slaves would preserve the Union, then I would do that. In other words, this is not a moral decision for me. This is a military decision for me.
Amen.
To the point that the Emancipation Proclamation itself was a military decision.
Yes, it was.
It was not a moral decision.
Yes, it was.
In saying to the South that your slaves are free, it inspired the slaves to rise up on plantations in the South, and whenever they saw Union forces coming, they would flee into the Union lines to seek not only security, but in some cases to seek a weapon to fight back against their slave masters. And so as we learn this history, it's important that we understand that law enforcement has been utilized in America from its beginning to capture, contain, control, and enslave people. And as a result, we find instances like the murder of our brother Oscar, not only regular, but generally justified. I think our brother, Uncle Bobby, has stated in several of these meetings that he's learned that there have been some 5,000 victims of police homicide. And if we start counting how many of them are called justified, you'll find the number to be something like 4,999. Judge Clay said it in his final judgment. He said that in carrying a charge against Johannes Mezeli, to his knowledge, this was the first time in California history that a peace officer has been made to be held to account for a trial for murder in the state of California. But you know, this was surely not the first time the police have killed somebody. Y'all with me now?
Yeah.
So we're in a very unique time that requires you and I to be a very unique people. I just want to recite a few facts, and then we're going to dialogue on some of our strategies as we move forward in seeking justice for Oscar Grant. This is from a newspaper called The New Standard. I pulled offline. It's a department that revolves around a Department of Justice report relating to inaction on police brutality cases. It came out in 2006. It says thousands of public complaints are made against police officers for using violence against civilians, but an overwhelming majority do not result in disciplinary action against the officers in question, according to a new report from the U.S. Department of Justice. The agency reviewed 26,556, quote, citizen complaints, end quote, filed during 2002 at state and local law enforcement agencies. In 1 year, there was a known 26,556 citizen complaints around the country made against law enforcement. That's a known complaint. However, I would offer that you could probably double that number, because like victims of sexual abuse, many abuse victims, due to embarrassment or fear or lack of faith that the system will help them, do not report most violations that in both personal lives and also in conflict with law enforcement. When Anthony Peroni testified in the Mezeli trial that if Oscar Grant were not shot and killed, he would likely have not even taken down their names. That means that Oscar and his friends would have simply been a group of young people that were hammered by the police on New Year's Day, that were slammed to the ground, that had 250-pound men stand on their backs, that had their heads hurled at a wall, that had their jaws hammered by elbow and forearm shivers, and they would have walked away from that if Johannes Mezeli didn't get overly excited, pull his weapon, and murder our brother, son, and father. Anthony Peroni, the lead officer that night, said he would not have taken their names down, which meant that there would have been no report made. Which also may mean that if Oscar or any of his friends had Oscar survived, decided to call someone that night to make a civilian complain. First and foremost, BART has declared that in 2008 that they only received 12 civilian complaints. And I've said to them publicly, I have personally received more than 12 civilian complaints. So it just may be that many of us that are brutalized don't complain because we don't see the benefit of complaining to the same police that brutalized us in the first place. That's why our sister Rashida Grenaj is working so diligently to move the city of Oakland to produce a civilian oversight process wherein the civilian team receives every complaint call, not internal affairs, so that the complaints would be in civilian hands. So when the Department of Justice says that 26,500 cases came to them in 2002, says in nearly one half of the cases reviewed, authorities exonerated officers despite allegations that they acted excessively. In about a third of the incidents, investigators said they didn't find enough evidence that unlawful force was used. Now listen to the language. Half, they said, we don't agree with the complaint. We're exonerating the officers. One third said, not that the officers are innocent, but that we don't have enough evidence to pursue it further. The Department of Justice lacks specific accounts of police conduct, let alone victims or witness perspectives. The Department of Justice is simply reviewing the numbers. The author also neglected to define use of force, a term used regularly in reports. In the report, which was released on Sunday, the department states on its website that there, quote, is no single accepted definition among the researchers, analysts, or police. This is why when we say very frankly that Anthony Peroni used excessive force and should be fired, you have in the law enforcement arena some who say, no, no, he did well. He was dealing with some hostile young Negroes. Or as Anthony Peroni would call them, B-A-N word. How do you contain and control the B-A-N words? Well, you have to put some force on them. I think it was Ms. Domenici, the other officer, who said, they wouldn't listen to us. They called us fake police. And felt because they spoke their minds that she was going to have to kill somebody that night. She testified to that. It was so shocking, it prompted the judge to ask the question of her, who are you going to shoot first? There are cases happening all over the country. In May, an Orange County DA, in responding to brutality cases there, he lost his case in the courtroom, but he was so frustrated, he said that there's evidence of deputies' code of silence. And of course, their code of silence is all over the murder of Oscar Grant. I don't recall one police officer, and even the man that was on the BART train that reported that there had been a fight on the train, who was a policeman's friend, not a single one of them testified that they heard a gunshot the night that Oscar was shot. Anthony Peroni testified, I thought I heard a taser malfunction. Huh? Ms. Domenici said, but I heard a sound. I didn't know if it was a gun, but I could smell the gun smoke. So I knew it was a gun by the smell. Whippenden said, I heard a loud sound. See, we're now looking at the police regular practice of the code of silence. says the case against Deputy Christopher Hibbs, accused of using excessive force by firing a taser on a handcuffed suspect, was dropped last month after a hung jury verdict, with jurors leaning 11-1 to acquit. District Attorney spokesman Susan Kane Schroeder said that inconsistencies in the testimonies of his fellow deputies prevented the case from succeeding in court and alluded to a code of conduct, a silence, between lawmen. Do you believe that that's true? Her comments sparked outrage from Sheriff Sandra Hutchins and the Association of Orange County Deputy Sheriffs, which demanded Schroeder's immediate resignation. You mean to point out the obvious? The police union says that the attorney should resign? My goodness gracious. You know, one thing that I'm learning in this struggle is, if the police union is against you, you must be doing the right thing. We went to Sacramento to support AB 312. I didn't have an opportunity to speak as we arrived there a few minutes late, but when I arrived, the police union representatives were speaking. I didn't know who they were, but I know it didn't feel too good, and what they said I didn't agree with. And it reminded me of the president of Venezuela when he spoke in a conference of the Americas at a platform that George Bush had just walked away from. And when he walked up to the platform, President Hugo Chavez said, "I detect the smell of sulfur in the room."
Yes, he did.
In other words, Satan has just left the mic. Well, I detected that smell when they were debating introducing AB 312. And I discovered from Assemblyman Amiano and his office that every police officer in the state came to oppose the development of a state-mandated oversight process for BAR. Well, I said, well, if all these police are against it, I'm for it. Now, we are working, and Reverend Buford is not here today, but we're working to help them craft a system that they want to present to the public, I would imagine, in the next few weeks. The timeline, however, of presentation is pushed back, and the predominant reason for the pushback is the $100 million BART deficit and the apparently pending strike by the BART employees. Now, if BART loses money, good. The only thing BART needs is $50 million for the Grant family. Everything else, I would rather see you all as the BART board. Maybe the state should take over BART like it took over the school district and produce a new governing body. In truth, who of us can say we really trust BART? They have demonstrated that they're not to be trusted very well. Now, we're going to push them to the 11th hour to do the right thing and see what they end up doing. But of course, they went out and they hired a minority-owned firm so that they could help to silence the debate that BART does not contract any black businesses in its building projects. So when Oscar was killed and some of our activists came in and said BART doesn't hire or sign to contract any black contractors, and BART heard them, they said, okay, well, let's silence that part of the debate. Let's go get a minority-owned law firm as the Internal Affairs Agency. Let's go get a group of minority, quote-unquote minority, law enforcement practitioners and ask them to investigate BART from top to bottom. Well, why did they do this? They did this to attempt to silence the anger of the community. But let's be clear. Hiring Noble is not the equal of justice in the murder of Oscar Grant. Hiring Myers Nave is not the equal of bringing justice in the murder of Oscar Grant. Why is it that any of those officers who testified and lied still have a job is beyond me. So today, understanding that this issue of police brutality made most significant in our lives currently in the murder of Oscar Grant, but it actually is a national problem. It says here, Englewood Police Oversight Commission members are frustrated because many times those in government will set up systems that have no teeth to achieve the thing that the very people have demanded that government should achieve in these kind of cases of injustice. The feds are investigating Englewood Police Department after multiple officer-involved shootings. Someone suggested to me recently, where is the Department of Justice? Have they been alerted about what happened to Oscar? Do they even know what's going on? Of course, the murder of our brother was videotaped, but Rodney King's beating was videotaped.
Yes, it was.
And the state and the local district attorney's office was unable to find victory in the videotaped beating of Rodney King. So the fact that you and I all know that Johannes Messerly is guilty and they need to find a place for him in the local jail or the state penitentiary. We all know that already, right?
Amen.
That's clear. Now, with that, now of course he's entitled to a trial, given his trial. But we all know that the man is guilty. One of the things that the defense is working to do is to remove this trial from the county of Alameda, and they have been utilizing their friends in the press to feed the story. I don't think I can get a fair trial in Alameda County for my client. I watched Attorney Raines. The man is an actor. They ought to give him an Academy Award. When the judge offered correction to him in the courtroom on his activities and offered direction on what he wanted to see in the remainder of the case, Mr. Raines balled up his fist. He never would look up at the judge and, "Your Honor, you're not allowing me to defend my client." He's throwing words in the public discourse. And unfortunately, members of the media that are present in the courtroom spend more time saying what Messerly wants to use for his defense and his excuse for leaving the county, and no time identifying the fact that every BART officer that testified lied. In fact, after Mr. Peroni called Oscar Grant the B word, the A word, and the N word, one moment before he was killed, a press person came to me. There was an impromptu press conference after every day's hearing. Dr. Tosco was there, and Sister Beatrice was there. And Dr. Tosco, I believe, was there for every day of the hearing. Is that true? And every day we emerged from the hearing, there would be a phalanx of cameras and reporters. They had representatives inside the hearing, and they had cameras and additional representatives outside the hearing. So they knew what happened in the hearing. But when did KTVU tell you that one moment before he was killed, Oscar Grant was shouted down with racial epithets and insults by Anthony Peron? Did anybody see that on TV? Did you read it in the Oakland Tribune? Now, some said there were racial overtones. But what does that really mean? That doesn't really mean anything in terms of reporting. So the common press has waxed silent against what's actually happening in the courtroom and is generating a storyline with which they are hoping to feed the people of Alameda County so that when the DA's department, the defense, sends out their posters to determine whether or not Oscar can get a fair trial in Alameda County, they're going to come with the questions that have been written into the paper. Had you heard that the judges have been unfair to Johannes Mezzali? In fact, the defense attorney in one quote said he wasn't concerned about the jury, he was concerned about the judges. So in one swipe, he's attempted to eliminate trial in Alameda County by laying accusation against the judges. In fact, they have a hearing in a few weeks called a 995 hearing, which is to determine whether or not there was judicial misconduct on behalf of the judge. Now, some say this is very common, but what we are looking at is the defense feeding the public view. The judge had to spank the defense attorney for feeding the press through the gag order. The defense attorney, as well as the witnesses and the prosecutor, were given a gag order in the very first judicial hearing. So the defense attorney came out running off at the mouth about him wanting the trial out of the county. He was violating the gag order. So the judge had to gently spank him. My understanding is he spanked him gently because he didn't want to add fuel to the fire that the defense attorney had already begun. So he asked Mr. Raines, I understand you want to change a venue motion. Yes, Your Honors, I haven't received one. Oh, it's in the paper. Mr. Raines, did you know that you were in the paper? Yes, Your Honor. He's letting him know my orders you violated. Y'all with me now? Mr. Raines, have you read the article? No, Your Honor. Come here, Mr. Raines. Read the article now. Well, it's kind of lengthier. Read it now. And when they were done, he then asked, are those quotes accurate? Well, I can't say for certainty, but I believe so, Your Honor. Thank you. He was letting him know, in no uncertain terms, that you're playing with the court. Your effort is to fuel the public idea that a fair trial cannot be had in the county of Alameda. I would hope that Mr. Raines follows instructions from this point forward, but we don't know what will happen. Now, these brutality cases with law enforcement officers lying on the stand with regularity in the city of Hawthorne. Hawthorne officers accused of abuse weren't even questioned by internal affairs. There's a videotape of an incident in Hawthorne, California, where our young brother was kicked in the head by a police officer while laying on the floor of the station. He won a $1 million lawsuit against the city of Hawthorne. I was in Los Angeles reading the newspaper, and lo, this was about January the 13th or so I was in LA. And then I discovered of even our friends in the activist world, they had little or no knowledge of what had happened to Oscar Grant. Then I get and pick up the LA Times and I'm reading about a similar situation. In Hawthorne, the police officer kicks the man in the head and then turns around and high-fives his partner while the brother lays wounded on the floor of the police station. It's caught on videotape. Well, guess what? They discovered that Hawthorne Police Internal Affairs did not do an internal affairs investigation. Now, here you can look at the incident on videotape. And what they call internal affairs has done nothing. In El Monte, California. This is a news item to hit May the 14th. Cop punts suspect's head. High five ensues fleeing from police. Endangering lives earns boot to the head. Now, rather than simply report, here's the press. They're telling you what the young man was accused of. He was chased by the police. And to be quite frank about it, there are few young black men that have not had at least one experience of running from the police that I'm aware of. I have run from the police in my teen life. Y'all with me now?
Yeah.
Some run on sight. I had a student one year in our school. We stepped outside of the door of the school and a police car was parked there, handling some other business. I made a joke. I never joke with my students like this again. I looked at the brother and said, and he was about 15. I said, oh brother, they're here for you. And he took off running up the street at full sprint. He really thought that the police were at the door. He hadn't done anything that I'm aware of. And I had to literally chase him down. It's a good thing I haven't gotten fat in my old age. I had to run him down. And it wasn't easy. And calm him down. He was that frightened of the idea that the police were looking for him. Our community lives with this kind of fear. So now, this young man flees from the police. He jumps out of a car he was driving and sets off on foot. When he sees there's no hope of getting away, he surrenders himself and puts himself in a felony-prone position. Lays out on his face on alarm. And when the police catch up to him, he's not moved. You can see it on the internet in live time. He's not moving. He's stressed out. Policeman runs up full speed and kicks him in the head. Despite lying on the ground with his arms and legs spread, a suspect who police say is a known gang member, like that's relevant. Does known gang member means treat like an animal? Got a face full of boot on Wednesday. Police answer questions about the kicking of the suspect. The kicking cop added insult to injury by giving a post-beating high five. This is all on video. The incident has sparked outrage on both sides of the argument. On Thursday, El Monte Police Lieutenant Ken Alva said that the officer has been reassigned to non-patrol duties. Here we go again. Kill somebody, brutalize somebody on camera, be reassigned. Now, of course, there's a thing called employee rights, but there's also a thing called videotaping. Feds, I think I've recited this one already, launching a full-range investigation on the Inglewood PD for multiple shooting instances against unarmed victims. So as we're working to set BART straight, I'm just laying this as a base for us to know that this is not a small fight. This is a big fight. The fight for proper oversight. Yeah. It's not a small fight. Yeah. That is a big fight. The fight to demand that law enforcement officers, in order to keep a job, must be truthful. That's not a small fight. That's a big fight. I would not want a liar testifying with or working with a gun on their hip and my life in their hands. Would you want a doctor who is unable to spare your life or the life of your loved one, to not tell the truth about what your condition was, to exonerate themselves of any kind of involvement with your failing health, what would you think of a doctor that said, though you came in with a condition that they didn't know that you had the condition, in order to be relieved of responsibility for serving you? What would you charge a doctor with that served you or your loved one improperly with knowledge, and when it came time to report what happened, that doctor started lying? How about the patient was dead on arrival when you really weren't? I just didn't feel like doing my job properly. Or I thought I would take the opportunity to do something differently since the patient is unconscious and can't testify as to what I'm doing. A doctor that is complicit in the death of a human being. You don't want a lying doctor. Have you all heard of the Tuskegee experiment?
Yes.
Black men were subjected to experimentation for 40 years with syphilis. A cure for syphilis was found early in the experiment. They began the experiment in 1932, I believe. They found the cure for syphilis in 1947. But they maintained the experimentation on these men until 1972. And it took until, in 72, one of the nurses admitted what was going on. But even with admission of the wrong, it was 1997 before President Bill Clinton issued a formal apology to the victims of 40 years of doctors that lied. That's a problem, right? So, sisters and brothers, we're very clear that in order to bring systematic change, one, we got to know some of the roots that the system will go to. On that note of government evils and admitted apologies, my brother is here today and he's going to speak with us in a few minutes. The U.S. Senate has just passed, I believe, a resolution that after 400 years of slavery, that the U.S. Senate should apologize in a non-binding way for slavery. Non-binding means don't hold us accountable for anything. We're wrong, but don't hold us accountable. Well, we're fighting a system, and you have volunteered for the fight. Now, are we up for the fight?
Yeah.
Now, we now need to bring to Barton greater accountability. And we wanted that you would help us just kick some ideas around. Because surely Barton has not done the right thing as it relates not only to Johannes Mezzali, who they didn't fire, but to Anthony Peroni, for Marisol Dominici, for Mr. Woodfinden, yes, and others who participated that evening in the murder of Oscar Grant. The public attention on the issue, it does what time does. But there are some that think that we should now begin to take actions to make sure that the murder of Oscar Grant does not go away from the public attention and does not go away from BART in its desire or in its responsibility for rendering justice. We wanted to open up the mic for a few minutes to get your thoughts on actions that would help bear to weight the force necessary to make BART respond to his officers that have done such grievous wrongs that we're all aware of. And so if you have a thought, please, this mic is wireless, but maybe if you come toward the front and share with us what some of your thoughts are. And I'm going to ask Dr. Tosca, would you help me facilitate this mic and talks with people? If you can do it for Noble, we know we can do it here. Let's thank Dr. Tosca for taking over Noble music.
Yeah.